Okay, so now we begin a section. So we begin a section, I'm not really sure what to call the unit, but we're beginning in Siman Kufayin Ches. Each of these five simanim are known by a different unit. It's going to be followed by Begaisha, actually Magic, I think, is next, and then Begaisha, and Payas, etc. So I labeled it in the announcements as Laws of Jewish Uniqueness. I'm not sure that completely fits all of these categories, but we'll stick with it. So what I also, another, so the next thing I found interesting thing is in the Kufayin test. So we'll begin with the laws of Chukas Hagayim. The one is not supposed to follow in the ways of the non-Jews.
Are we in the...
We'll start in the Torah of Beis Yosef. So I found it odd that the Gemaras themselves don't really seem to be quoted. There's two Gemaras that seem to contradict each other, and that's really where the sugya starts. There's a sugya in Maseches Avodah Zarah, Daf Nun Beis Amud Beis, and in sugya in Maseches Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. The Gemaras seem to go against each other. And I think the only Shas in the world that has Maseches Avodah Zarah and Sanhedrin in the same volume, I found in our little library here. And for some reason, and Avodah Zarah comes first, before Sanhedrin.
That's unusual.
Yeah, it is unusual. Yes, collector's item. There's a couple of interesting things about the Shas. I'm not really sure what it is.
You got Avos in there also?
Yes, I believe so. I believe so. Avos is in here. Yeah, all those. Right, for some reason, Sanhedrin comes at the end, after Horios and after Edios, and there's Maseches Avos, yes. It's all here. Okay, so the Gemara, so I'm not really sure how to approach this. I guess we'll start with the Gemara. The Gemara in Maseches of Sanhedrin, Daf Nun Beis Amud Beis, which you don't have in front of you, talks about the ways that one is supposed to do Hor Herik, that one is supposed to do execution. And the Gemara discusses one way and says that might be a better way, but you can't do it that way because that's the way the non-Jews execute. So rather, you have to do it in a different way than the non-Jews do it. So then the Gemara says, but wait a second, we do some things that the non-Jews do, and what is the biggest example of the thing that we do that the non-Jews do? We also burn Sorfin al HaMalachim, that after a king dies, so the minhag used to be that they would burn all the belongings of the king, and they'd say sometimes even the king's wives, they would burn them so they wouldn't be able to be enjoyed by anybody else. So the Jews do that as well. So how could the Jews do it? So it says, oh, that's different because that is a pasuk for it. There's a pasuk in Yirmiyah that discusses this idea of burning the king's stuff. So because we have a pasuk for it, so therefore that eludes the idea of Uvuchoseichem Lo Seilei. You're no longer following the ways of non-Jews because we have our very own pasuk to say that it's okay. Okay? Tosfos asks, now wait a second, it seems to go against the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, because the Gemara there also discusses this idea of Sorfin al Malachim, discusses the idea of burning things that belong to the king after he dies, and the Gemara there says, aye, isn't that Chukas Hagayim? And the Gemara says, no, that's not a chok. That's not a chok. That's not really a problem because it's not a chok. Why? Because it's understandable. It makes sense. That's kavod malachim. It actually is granting honor to the kings by burning all of his stuff such that this stuff won't be used afterwards. The Jews didn't kill the wives, but they did destroy the rest of the stuff. So therefore that's okay because it's no longer a problem of v'chuseichem lo seilechu.
So a chok would be defined as something we can't understand the reason for.
For these purposes, we're saying we don't write. It's not a chukas hagayim, a way of. You mean you're translating the word chukas hagayim?
Well, that's what it seems to be saying.
Yeah, that
it's
because
not
we.
Not a chok because it's under, because it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, it doesn't make sense.
It's okay, so, well, that's what it sounds like for the Maseches,
right.
Of Avodah Zarah,
right.
That it has to do with whether it's a chok or whether it's not a chok. For the Gemara Sanhedrin, it sounds like it makes a difference whether there's a pasuk or whether there's not a pasuk. So how does one resolve that? So Tosfos on the page in Maseches Sanhedrin has a small version, and Tosfos in Maseches Avodah Zarah has a larger version that gives the same answer. He says that over there it's not a chok, l'shem avodos kochavim, because if it was a chok, even if it was written in the Torah, lo hava mahani, we wouldn't have been able to do it. That's what Tosfos says. That if it was a chok, even though we would have a pasuk for it, so one wouldn't be allowed to do it. So what does that seem to be saying? Anything that the non-Jews do, we need to have a pasuk in order to allow ourselves to do it. That's what it sounds like is coming out from this.
If it's a chok.
If No. He's passing like the Gemara in Sanhedrin, really against the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. He's saying that even that the idea of Sorfin al Hamalachim, which is not a chok, if it wasn't for the fact that there was a pasuk for it, I wouldn't be allowed to do it.
But you just said, even if there were a pasuk, you wouldn't be allowed to do it.
No, and then you need the other one as well. I mean, you need both. You need A, to not be a chok, and B, you also need a pasuk. So even if the non-Jews are doing something that is completely logical, right? If we don't have a pasuk to back ourselves up for it, so then it shouldn't be allowed anymore. That seems to be the sheet of the Tosos.
It's really difficult to figure out where you draw the line on these things. The non-Jews wear clothes. We can't wear clothes.
That's true. Okay. So maybe we should, right? I hear. Okay. So it is difficult to figure out. So now we could turn to the Torah. The Torah quotes from the Rambam. Now you could tell me where the Rambam falls out. Either the Ran disagrees. The Ran in Maseches Avodah Zarah passes like the Gemara in Avodah Zarah rather than the Gemara in Sanhedrin. He's passing like that way. And says, no. That if there is actually a reason for it, so then one isn't going to, then you're no longer in the realm of Vukhuseichem Lo Seilechu. Fine. So comes the Torah and says in Simon Kufay and Ches, Asur l'alechas l'chukas agayim ve'in tzarech lomer shelo liksom ulenachi shulone. It doesn't just mean that you shouldn't follow darkei amori, meaning to do superstitions and other type of necromancy. Shekol elu mefurashim v'Torah. The sip was that's a separate din in the Torah. I mean, those are mentioned explicitly in the Torah. So zol tamad lasos ketorev asagayim hayim lo yim sebach ma'avir b'no b'ito keish kozim samim onesh munachish m'chshafim v'chover chever v'shol ovi yudoni v'dorish alamesim. Now you shouldn't do their things, which include all of these things, you know, throwing your kids over the fire and ovi yudoni and all of those black magic type of things that the Rambam has to figure out another way of understanding. So all of that is that's not a straight pasuk. That's a quoted from parts of Pesukim. All of those things are prohibited. So beyond that, there is an additional prohibition of uvuchosehem lo seilechu. Right, you're not supposed to follow in their chokes. Elafilu minug shenagu agayim asher leilechpo. Even a minug that they do, you're not allowed to do. Even if it's not included in any of those categories, dechsivs. Right, you shouldn't follow in their ways. V'chein kasav a Rambam, and that's what the Rambam writes as well. So now here's the quote of the Rambam. You tell me how the Rambam fits in. In holchem b'chukas hagayim v'lo midamin lahem. That one is not supposed to go in the chukos and the not understandable things of the non-Jews. V'lo midamin lahem, right? And they shouldn't be like them. V'lo mamalbush v'lo b'seyar b'chiyotze b'hem. Not in your dress and not in the way you wear your hair. Eli Yeha Yisrael moved al mehem biyadua b'malbusho uvishar ma'isav kamoshahu kamoshu moved al b'mado uvideyosta. That he should be different in the ways that he and recognizable in the ways that he dresses and other things that he does, that he's separate from them. V'lo yilbosh malbush hamiyuchad lehem, nor should you wear clothing that is like them. V'lo yigdal tzitzis rosho kamo tzitzis rosho. You shouldn't grow, sounds like braids. You shouldn't grow braids in your hair like they do. So cornrows are not a good idea. V'lo yigaleach min hatzadim, nor should you shave the sides. V'yaniach hasar be'emtza, meaning have a mohawk, kamo shehmosim, like they do. V'zeo shenikra blorios. And that is what we call blorios. Nor v'lo yigaleach hasar micheneged panim me'ozen le'ozen v'yaniach hapera. I'm not sure what this is. I looked around, I'm not sure anyone really knows what this is, but it sounds like you're shaving your entire front of your head and leaving the back of your head. So maybe like some kind of ponytail where you like shave the whole front and leave the back. Maybe I was thinking like it's not exactly the same, but Pharaoh in the Ten Commandments, right, had that, right, only the ponytail coming out, maybe something like that. Not sure what this is referring to, but you shouldn't do the hair like that. But it sounds like besides that, I mean, besides those explicit things, he also had that you shouldn't wear things that are like them, that you should be separate from them. So how does that work out? I mean, besides these things that are specifically like them, one is also supposed to separate from them. That's what we just said. And nor also nor should you build buildings, like they do for Avodah Zarah, so that many people can go in there and assemble in that way. Anybody who does any of these things, so then they get Malkus. By the way, just pick up on the Malkus right now. The Beis Yosef is right, well, for me, the Beis Yosef is right next to it, and points out that, wait a second, Malkus? So when the Rambam, that's a quote from the Rambam. Now, when the Rambam says Malkus, what does he mean? Does he mean Malkus de Reises, Malkus de Rabbanim? Is that Malkus Mardus, or is that real Malkus? So the Beis Yosef says, no, that even though Afagav the Belav Echad Nesru Al Hadvarim Elu Lo Chashivi Lav Shevachlalos, even though it's one lav that includes all of these things, there is a rule that we have with regards to Makos that you don't get Makos on something called a Lav Shevachlalos. That when you have many prohibitions included in one pasuk, so none of them are actually going to get Chayiv, are going to be Chayiv Makos Doraisa. So does that apply here? Because the prohibition of Luchukosehem Lo Seilechu seems to include many things. You're not allowed to grow the hair like them. You're not allowed to dress like them. So comes the Beis Yosef and says, no, what do you mean? That's all examples of the same prohibition. Right? The Hainu Holich B'chukas HaGoyim. Right? It's the same thing, to go in their ways. Period. So that's his pshat. Now he adds in that we have a problem. Then the Rambam's Perish HaMishnayis, he writes about Blorios and Tasporos, because that Asur Lanu Min HaTorah K'dei Shelo Nidma Elahem, that the prohibition of having hair like this is a prohibition of B'chuseim Lo Seilechu. But you're not chayiv malchus, elim kain shachas hapeyos, unless you actually cut off the peyos themselves. And it seems like the reason why the Rambam would say that is because that's considered a lav shebechlalos. He says, "Mikol makom, no al dvarav b'chiburo yesh lismoch yoser mi al dvarav b'pirush haMishnah." That we rely on what it says in the Mishnah Torah more than what we rely on what it says in the Mishnah. Then it says in the Pirush haMishnah. So therefore, even though they seem to disagree, right? The Rambam, we pass them like the Mishnah Torah, that all of those are considered full fledged isuri d'oraisa, which would carry with it a chiyuv malchus.
Yes, Mishnah was written first.
That's correct.
He was very young.
Correct. Right, it's also right. They say Perush HaMishnayis was written first, and he could have changed his mind till later. Also, Perush HaMishnayis is a Perush similar to Rashi. Rashi is a Perush on the Gemara. It's not necessarily passing like him. So, so that's. Interesting point. Yeah, I would just add, also with the Blorios, I realized that I never really knew what this Blorios were, but it seems like Blorios is separate from the prohibition of Peis. I mean, there's a prohibition of shaving off the sides of your head and leaving the middle, I prefer to call them mohawk, but that's different than the prohibition of cutting off your Peis.
Right.
So that sounds like even if you're going to get a short haircut and like leave a lot in the middle, which is stylish, that's not what he says here. I've also had different understandings over the years of what blurios are, but here he says, he says that's what's called blurios. It says, as they do, and that's what we call blurios. Now that's what the Rambam says. Now could be others disagree, but that's a quote from the Rambam. So it seems like according to the Rambam, to shave hair close on the side and leave a lot in the middle would be a prohibition of this. How women fit in is an overarching question here. Some of these things clearly we'll see. It's clear, I think, how it applies to women. But with regards to the styles, as Sheldon pointed out, where objectivity ends and subjectivity begins, is a difficult thing to figure out here. Okay, so that is the Shitas HaRambam. So what does the Shitas HaRambam seem to be? Is one permitted to dress like normal Western styles? So it's unclear. But he does say here towards the end, what he says is, "Gaim v'lo midamin lahem," right? And not to be like them, which would sound like you can't be like them. Even if it's logical, you can't be like them. That's what it sounds like from the from the Rambam. So the Beis Yosef on this as well comments in the paragraph beginning with Chasav Od. So there is a very short paragraph in the beginning of the Beis Yosef, then there is the paragraph where he quotes the Rambam, really quotes the Maharik, which we'll get to, and then the next paragraph begins with the words of Chasav Od. So the Chasav Od Shama, right, you see it? So it also is written over there.
Which page is that?
In the Beis Yosef. Paragraph beginning with Chasav Od.
Oh yeah, at the bottom of Kuf Ayin Zayin.
Okay, so what page? Yeah, so we'll have it.
about seven lines up from the bottom of Beis Yosef.
Okay, so he says here, V'chasav od shama, shekasav aram shiye Yisrael muvdal mehem, v'yadua b'malbusho, loba, and that the Jews should be separated them and recognized by his dress. So loba l'chayiv l'hishtanus min ha-gayim al kol panim. It's not necessarily coming to say that you have to be different than the gayim. Because it says later, don't dress in a way exactly like them. So, why does it say, don't dress in the dresses that are miyuchad, meaning unique to them? Just say, don't dress like them. So elavadai shelo nesar elamalbush shekfar nisyachid lahem. Right. Rather, it's only talking about a clothing, an article of clothing that had been unique to them. Upershu hayisraelim mimenu mifnei tziniusan or mifnei davar acher. And the Jews specifically said, "We're not wearing it." The Jews separated it either because of modesty or for some other reason. Shekivin shenisyachid mehem mifnei giusan, that because it's unique to them in terms of their being Gentiles, upershu hayisraelim mimenu, and the Jews specifically separated mifnei yahadusan because of their Jewishness. As kishelosho hayisrael is near kamod lahem benir shachacharim. So then it seems like one's following them. About kishenu malbush hamiyuchad lahem al derech ze in hayisrael chayev lihishtanus klal veker. But if it's not a unique style to them, so then the Jew doesn't have to change from it. That is the that's the basis, which I think is a pretty big kula. Now it's not all the way, but we're going to see one more, perhaps a bigger kula. But that is that I think is a pretty strong weakening of the Rambam. One could say the Rambam is, no, you're not allowed to dress like me. You have to dress like a chassid, and you have to dress in a totally distinct, different way. So the Beis Yosef is saying, no, that can't be what the Rambam means, because you could be Meduik. And the Rambam is saying, no, it's a different, you can't dress like them specifically to be like them and not be like the Jews. But if it's a neutral clothing, so the Mechaber seems to say, the Beis Yosef seems to say that is okay.
Yeah? I don't remember this too well, but it seems to me that Rambam said that the blues was used by the priests or something. That could be wrong, but so you wouldn't want to dress like a priest.
Okay, so. Okay, so were all of these necessarily avodah zarah? The way the Rambam comes out right now, and the way the Mechaber will, and the way the Beis Yosef reads, is that it's not really connecting it to the avodah zarah / tznius. Well, he's saying that there's some reason why the Jews don't do that. That there's a specific identification issue, but if it's just open, something that's neutral, wearing a suit, so. So it seems like that would be okay. Now the Ma'arik is quoted, the famous Ma'arik is quoted here at length. We've come across this Ma'arik already, but if you look in the Darkei Moshe, so the Darkei Moshe here, Kafayim Chesiv Aleph, so the Chasav Haran Perakam Devodah Zarah. So the Ran deals with this stira in this contradiction between the Gemara and Avodah Zarah, the Gemara Sanhedrin, and he says the Lo Asra Torah El Chok Avodah Zarah Udvarim Shel Hevel, that the Torah doesn't prohibit. The only thing that the Torah really prohibits are things having to do with avodah zarah or things of hevel, of nothingness, of no reason, ubatala. V'kula nish behen surach avodah zarah, and they have a need for avodah zarah. Aval dvarim shel tam shari, but anything that has a reason, it's going to be permitted. It's going to be permitted. Ulekach sorfin al ha. Malachim, and that's why you're allowed to surf out Malachim, because there's a reason for it. It's not a Vodah Zarah. It's reasonable. But Lespa Mishum Darki Amori, there's no Darki Moshe attached to it. The Yishbaz at Kabbal the Melech, Lisro Kli Tashmisha, Shalo Yishtan Shan Acher, Akalashon, because there's a good reason why you would do it. Fine. So that's the Ran. That's cool number one. Now, Rick even seems to go, we'll see. My Rick perhaps goes further. My Rick Kasav, the Ain Lesser Mishum Chok, Ela Be'echad Mishnei Panim. There's really only two reasons why you would prohibit something. That the reason is not clear. Right? And because people are doing something that doesn't have a clear reason, it's just that people do it. So if a Jew does something that non-Jews do for absolutely no good reason, so what does it show? It shows that you're following them. I'm doing like them. right? But dimlokein lama yeseket veir hatmum. Because if you didn't, weren't following them, why in the world are you doing it? So you have to be able to answer that question. If you can answer that question, so then you're out of the prohibition. Ulekach, therefore, haminuk shehinigu ha'umu shekol echad shehu nase mumcha berufus betchil lovish malbush kamin kape. So therefore, is the famous doctor coat issue, right? That the non-Jews have this minug that all expert doctors wear this thing called a kappa, a doctor coat, right? Ein Israel Yisrael. So there's no prohibition for Israel. Why? The Reitam Levisha Sayyidu. Everybody knows why he's wearing it. The Simen Hayoso, Mimashige HaChachma, to show that he's that he understands that wisdom. So he's wearing it for a reason. Whether the person will get honor for it or will get money for it. Because that way he'll have a name within that particular wisdom. So Marik is saying, if there is a reason that you're doing it at all, so then all of a sudden it's no longer within the realm of Chukas HaGayim. I think I mentioned a few weeks ago, you know, they used to have commercials for this uniform company. Right, and there's a plumber that came into the commercial. I think was some guy just dressed normally walking, "Hi, I want to check out your sink," and all of a sudden starts playing around under the sink. And the ad said, "Without a uniform, he's just a guy playing around with your sink." Right, so there's a good reason why you would wear it, and therefore you're outside of the realm of Chukas HaGayim. And then he says, "Vaminik Hasheni." And the second reason why you would want to come to prohibit something is because it has to do with pritzos. Because it's not something that has a connection to pritzos, and the goyim also. And the Goyim do it, so that would also be prohibited, as we learn in the Gemara in the Sechah Sanhedrin with regards to the changing of the shoelaces. And the Rif explains, Sheminach Shel Goyim Shir Tzaseim Adumas Vushay Yisrael Shacharos, that why do they do it? What was this whole thing? We've learned already a few times with the red shoelaces and the black shoelaces, and they forced the Jews to change. So why did they do it? The non-Jews wore red shoelaces, and Yisrael wore black, because Hayim Mishum Tzneas, because of Tzneas, the Ein Derech Yisrael Yos Edom Levusho, B'tzeva HaShachar Hu Mora Al Hachna, B'shiflus Kamush, because red, Jews don't wear red, and the black color talks of is indicative of lowliness. As we learn in the Gemara in Chagiga, that anybody whose Yetzahara has gone strong on him, see, he should dress in black. That's why the Jews wear black. And anything else that's going to have these problems. That's not part of what Yaakov does. But the minug that Jews wear one thing, non-Jews wear another thing, if what the Jews are wearing isn't more tzniyistic than what the non-Jews are wearing, so then there's no prohibition to Jews to dress like the non-Jews. That's because that's still going to be kasher for Jews as well. And so therefore, what comes from the Ma'arik? So what comes from the Ma'arik is the only thing that's really prohibited is if a Jew is doing something like non-Jews do for no other reason at all. But if you could come up with some type of reason for it, so then it would be okay. So we have.
It wasn't the business in the end with the black and the tzniyos, and I didn't quite follow all that.
Well, we had the thing with the black laces and the red laces that we've learned already. I need the non-Jews come and tell you you have to wear red instead of black, so that's something that maybe is
already
the opera.
You're not supposed to do that. Okay.
It's so what's the source? I mean, why is that included in the Chukas HaGayim category? So the Ma'arik says, because the red and black has to do with tznius, that black is a tznua color and red is a non-tznua color. Mm-hmm. So the Ma'arik says, so that's the other thing that would be subject to Chukas HaGayim. Either if there's no reason at all for it, or because it has to do with priestess. It has to do with... immorality or something, and apparently wearing red shoelaces was an indicator for immorality. Okay, so there is a reason, it's just, but if that reason would then tilt towards an immoral reason, so then that would be problematic. Okay, so you have, really what comes out is a few different sheets as we've shown, right? You had Tosos seems to say that the only thing you could do is if there's a pasuk to indicate that it's okay. I remember thinking to myself, wait, when I was in Shia, I never really found any answer to this. What if the non-Jews would say we're wearing tefillin l'shem avodah zarah? So it sounds according to Tosos, it becomes aser. What?
Yeah, but pasuk doesn't work.
The pasuk doesn't work if they're definitely doing it for avodah zarah.
Well, that's another thing. If we did it first, doesn't that make some difference?
Yeah. What about the korbanos?
Yeah.
Kadosh Baruch Hu changed the nature of the mizbeach.
Yeah.
Right.
But we still bring the books.
We didn't change the nature of the mizbeach.
Abraham Avinu had a mizbeach of one stone, and then we changed it because that's where the goyim now.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's where the goyim is, so we changed it.
Okay, so that's Tosos. Move that over to the Rambam. The Rambam seemed to say that, well, you can't do anything. According to the Rambam, at least according to the Beis Yosef, is that if they have, you can't do anything that is a non-Jewish thing to do. If it's a non-Jewish thing to do, you can't do it. It sounds like even if there's a good reason to do it. Then you have the Ma'arik saying, no, anything that there's officially a reason for, one can't find within the problem of let's not go into qualify for that.
So we're passing like the Maverick.
So let's see what it says in Shulchan Aruch. So as we go to Shulchan Aruch, Simon, Kafayin Ches. Okay, so Kufayin Chesed Aleph, so the Mechaber really quotes the Rambam, and the Ramah really just quotes the Ma'arik. So let's go through it. So in Holchim B'chukas Ovdik L'chavim, one shouldn't go in their chukos, V'lo Yilbash Ma'abush HaMiyuchad Lehem, V'lo Yigdal Tzitzis Rosho, K'mo Tzitzis Rosham, you shouldn't wear clothing that is specific to them. And one should not wear clothing that is specific to them. We shouldn't grow our braids like they grow braids. You shouldn't shave the sides and leave the middle. Nor leave the front empty from ear to ear, whatever that means.
I think that's not referred to like you just cut and leave the top of the head like over the ears. No? I always thought that was that. Okay.
Not the side, yeah. Not the back. Okay.
Well, the back is like
that,
there,
like a step, like a real. Okay. In the Rambam,
I'm asking. You.
I saw in the Rambam Moznaim, that's available online. The translation of the Rambam available online. So they translate it as cutting off the whole front and leaving the back. But maybe you're right. Maybe that was a possibility.
It says from year to year. That's all.
Nor should you build places like their temples, as they do. Fine. Ella, so Rechid to Eli, he moved on mehem, b'mavush, v'shar ma'isav. You should be separate. V'chol ze eino aser, comes the Ramah, Ella b'davar shenagubo avdikachavim l'shem pritzos, v'shenagubo l'ilbosh ma'bush ma'dumim. Really, the only things that are us is if they're doing it for the purposes of pritzos, or who malbush sarim v'chadome, like their officers wear, me malbushi hapritzas, o bedavar shenagu leminog ulechok ve'ein tam bedavar, or something that there is a reason that they're doing for no reason, and we don't know why. Now this I didn't see in the Maharik, but the Ramah says the ikalam eichlus shvei mishim darki amari, because then we have to be concerned that they're doing it l'shem avodah zarah. Right? If there is no reason for it. So then we have to be concerned. Now that's not really that's not the way the Ma'arik was quoted in the Darkei Moshe. Ma'arik was quoted in the Darkei Moshe as saying, if there's no reason for it, then you're doing then that Dafka tells us you're doing it to be like them. The Ramah here is saying, no, if there's no reason for it, then we're concerned that it is an avodah zarah basis.
You're assuming that Darkei Amori means avodah zarah. I was assumed it meant the way the Amori
superstitious Amori,
whatever they did.
No, I think Darkei Amori is chosen specifically. There is a list of things that are Darkei Amori that are quoted, which is quoted, which we didn't do it, but the Beis Yosef quotes it from a Tosefta in Shabbos, where it lists off things that are Darkei Amori, included of which, by the way, is wearing a red string. By the way, it's one of the, it's on the Darkei Amori list in the Tosefta in Shabbos. So. So v'shiyish po shemetz avodah zara me'avusein, and therefore, and there's a hint of avodah zara in it. Aval davar shenagul toels, but if there's a reason for it, v'yon shedarkan shekol mishahu rofa mumcha yesh lo malbush miyuchad shenikar bo shehu rofa, but for a doctor to wear something that everybody knows that he's a doctor, mutter l'losham, so it's permitted for him to wear it. V'chein she'osin mishum kavod otam achir mutter, he's doing it to our kavod, so that's okay. I mean, there's a reason for it. L'chein amru sorfen al hamalathim ve'im bo mishum darkei amari. Therefore, you see, you can do this burning for the kings, and we don't then have to worry about Darkei Amori. So one could read the Mechaber, I think, in multiple ways. But even I think the Mechaber, the way we read it before, the Ramah's shifting it a little bit, right? And I think the distinction is, am I do it, the Mechaber would ask you something that you're doing if non-Jews do it, and you don't, and they've kind of taken and Jews don't do it, things that non-Jews do and Jews do. Non-Jews do and Jews don't, so that would already be a problem, even if there's a reason to do it. Well, now Rick would say that no, such a thing would then be permissible. The big machber in all of this, Bob, I'm surprised you haven't shouted this out, is the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon, and over here, the Vilna Gaon Sif Zion is the known as the machber one here. The Sif Zion is pretty long, but I think the main part is the last. Got to work very hard to get through Vilna Gaon of any length. This one, no exception. But the last couple of lines, for me, it's the last 10 lines. It starts with the words Kfar Kasafti Shedivrei Haran Temuin. See what that is?
Yeah, it's the last bold letters on page Pei Aleph. And the Ron, and then the
okay, so he says, I wrote that I think the Ron is questionable. I mean, the Ron, who's the one who said that if there's a reason for it, it's okay. But God didn't Ma'arik in here. I don't understand the Ma'arik either. Why? Mimasha Kasva Sanhedrin, Daphne Bays. But so really, what it says in the Gemara and Sanhedrin, because the Gemara and Sanhedrin talked about the issue of the burning for the kings, but what really was the Gemara talking about? The Gemara was really talking about the way we do chenek, the way we do execution, and we end up paskening that we don't do it the way the non-Jews do it. So it says, there's a reason to do it the way they do it, because that's the most cleanest. But we try to answer, we don't do it that way. Certainly with the kings, the burning for the kings, certainly there's a reason, as the Ran said, but even so, the Gemara asked about it. El devadei hakol aser, everything is aser, rak dafka lilmud mehem aser, to learn from them is aser, v'chein mashakasav kevan dechsiv lo minayu gamrinan, v'lo dam yishim dechsiv bo raisa, el chafdalet?
Yeah.
Is that chafdalet? Shainu osim zulasan mutter, v'chein bam ushehem, about kol shelovsho malbush hamiyuchel lehem aser v'chapasha divayarif, but anything that is clothing that is specific for them, so then that's going to be prohibited. And certainly if for one string is a problem, one shuli is a problem for pritzos, but. Okay, and if it's a problem. So I wasn't able to work through all the language here, but the Vilna Gaon is known as being the big machmer here, perhaps more machmer even than the Mechaber, of saying that if it's something that the non-Jews do, so then it's something that we're going to be prohibited unless really it can be proven otherwise. Okay, so there is a tshuva she distributed from Rav Moshe, Simon Chilik and Yoredeya Chilik Aleph, Simon what Pei Aleph, where Tafshin Yud Gimel, I believe is 1940. I did a quick math in my head before.
No.
All right, am I off?
No, Tafshin is 40.
Tafshin
is 1953
would be Yud Gimel. Oh. Tafshin is 94, right, 53, right, I'm not sure. Okay, you're right, from 1953. So, okay, not the...
Moshe was even here in 1940.
No, he was.
What, 1940? Okay.
I believe so, yes. So what is the title, right? Bedavar Malbushim Shem Medina Zu, Imish Chashash Isser Malbushay Nachrim, Habayim Lekami Polin, Imishayim Lehovshan. That with regard to clothing in this country, is there a chashash prohibition of those that are coming from Poland to wear this clothing? So why is it specifically an issue for the people of Poland? So this goes back to the sugya that we learned in the previous section, because in Poland that's where the Hasidim were. They are the ones that were wearing the long coats, and they were the ones that, well, you said it was a little questionable what exactly the story was, but they're the ones who already suffered because of their desire to maintain their style of dress. So one of the Lithuanian Jews that came, so they wore suits, but the ones that came from Poland, so they were the ones that came wearing the long coats. And the shaila was, are we allowed to change to wear modern clothing? So he comments here, we need to do the whole thing here, but all right, let's do the first paragraph, and then they'll show the thing where he compares the gra to the... He said, in this country, we don't have a distinction between non-Jews and Jews. At least, certainly, in the 50s. So are those that come from Poland, are they that come here? And those that are born from them here, livosh oso hamabushim shahayu nogim in Poland, to wear those clothes that they wore in Poland. Mitzada isra de mabushay nachrim, because of the isra that is mabushay nachrim. Ba'afsha av kfar shina bevo lepo, and even if the father maybe changed when he came here, hayza be'isra, maybe that's prohibited. Shinishar isra, he's going to stay doing the thing that's prohibited. Ba'olam kimat kulam nogim heter af yirei Hashem imi. So most people are matir this, which is interesting. You can get a little bit of a time understanding. In 1953, like the idea of people wearing traditional Jewish dress in America seems to Rav Moshe to be very few people would do such a thing. After Hashem, is there a reason that they could be matir it?
Can I just point out that traditional Jewish dress was straight out Polish goyish dress?
Yes.
1800.
Yes.
So all they did was they were just signs of the time. You just kept.
Okay. So as we learned in the shir, I think you weren't here. There was a little bit of it's not totally true, because there were gezeros against the Jews to dress in that way. I mean, they were continuing that way. The non-Jews shifted, and there were gezeros then against the Jews too that they have to change as well. So it's not so clear to just say, oh well, at some point there was a time warp and the Jews just decided to freeze. I think there is reason for that. I'm thinking maybe a Mythbusters year in the spring, maybe on that topic. Topic of
because they clearly did not dress the way they
I understand
in,
right.
in 1500.
Right, so I'm thinking maybe that
people did not dress that
I'm
way
thinking the title might be, did the Jews wear strimals when they left Mitzrayim? Right, that might be the title.
Some of them,
you know, or in 1240,
No, I understand.
Dress that way.
I understand. So, but for the purposes here of what they perceived as their Jewish traditional dress.
Okay.
So he quotes the Ma'arik. He quotes the, and then he says in the middle paragraph on Kuf Mem Gimel, meaning the middle of the three paragraphs, in the middle paragraph, he says, "Vegam, I guess Belashon Zeh, Ein Shayach Isser Malbushay Nachrim Da Kimat Kol Bnei Yisrael Lo Shem Malbushim Eilu." You can't answer it as Malbushay Nachrim if most of the Jews wear it. Who says that their non-Jewish clothing that the Jews wear? It may have been originally Jewish clothing. It was never established as being non-Jewish clothing. Even according to the Vilna Gaon, the Viuro, Sof Sof Katan Zayin, Shapaligal Aranu Ma'arik Farama. The sword, the bechol malbush hamiyuchal lenachrim aser gam kain aser, that all clothing that is unique to non-Jews is prohibited. Gam kain ha matir begadim shahinu lovshim. So here they would matir the clothing which they're wearing. Perish lo bishvil shanachrim lovshim beelu after kadma nachrim lovshim. Not because the non-Jews wear it, even though they wore it first. Vechol shekain beelu ha begadim bemedina zu de lo kadma nachrim klal de midchilahim gam liyisrael and kol lenachrim shaleika aser, that they didn't wear it first, they wore it together. The Jews, they wore it together with the Jews, as the non-Jews were. So therefore, there's not going to be a prohibition involved. Even those that come from Poland to here, they can wear the clothing they wear. Why? There's no prohibition. It's not called non-Jewish clothing at all. They're simply changing from Jewish clothing in one place to Jewish clothing in another place. And therefore there shouldn't be a prohibition, there shouldn't be any question of a prohibition here. So he's saying even according to the Vilna Gaon. Why? So what, how would one understand that? Because I'm not changing it to dress like non-Jews. It's not unique non-Jewish clothing. I'm wearing Jewish clothing. I'm wearing the same thing that all the other Jews are wearing. It's clothing that we all wear, and therefore it wouldn't be included in V'chusecho L'Seilecho. That's become my practice now that I found these lists of streams. I listened to Rabbi Reisman quickly this afternoon. Rabbi Reisman made a point on this where he said he thought what would be usur according to the Gra, that would be mutter according to the Ma'arik, would be to wear a baseball cap on the subway. Right, those people, you get on and you put on a baseball cap, so a baseball cap would be a non-Jewish article of clothing. So there's a reason why a Jew would wear it. There's a reason. I don't know. It looks okay. If it's for crime, you don't have to punish yourself over this. But Jews have worn yarmulkes in the subway system and not gotten beaten up. So that would qualify as being a non-Jewish article of clothing that the Vilna Gaon would then say would be a problem to wear in the subway. But according to the Ma'arik would say that's okay. Ma'arik would say that would be okay as it's a
Lots of
Jews have worn baseball caps. Jews would wear.
Lots of Jews have worn baseball caps.
Right, right, right. No. That there's a reason for it. It's not about Jews. Not, but according to the Ma'arik, is there a tam? Is there a reason for it? Right. So the problem. So I remember somebody once stopped me as wearing a baseball cap backwards. He said, "No, that's b'chusecham lo seilecho, to wear a baseball cap backwards. There's no reason to wear it." So I pointed out there is a reason to wear it because that wasn't yeshiva league rules. Those were camp league rules that to wear a baseball cap while playing basketball is not so safe. You could hit your head and arm could hit the brim and whatever bad things could happen from it. So that was the minute. That's why you wear a baseball cap backwards. So there was a reason for it. Yeah. Right. Yes. The Tach and the Mincha issue. He has in one more issue here. The last paragraph that Rav Moshe talks about, he says he talks about the other Ma'arik issue, which is that it can't be for pritzos either. For the original reason had to do with pritzos, that would be problematic. So it comes to Ma'arik and says, "Aval habegadim sheish behen pritzos mamish shenasu mechadash v'bigdei nashim." But begadim that have that are really about pritzos that were made for women. Even though all the Jews wear them, even originally it wasn't. And also, it wasn't considered non-Jewish clothing. It's at etzim habagadim, but it's not pritzos. But there is a pritzos issue. So then that would qualify not just under the non-snias issue. Right, but under the Chukas HaGayim issue. Right, we may leish lesser begotim eilu Yisrael slavat in yinah pritzos. So therefore it should be prohibited for Jews because of the pritzos. Because of the, even though it qualifies in terms of snias, if it was developed in that way as a way of pritzos, then it would be a problem. So Reisman said, I'm not sure I agree with him on this, he said that therefore wearing slits would be a problem with Chukas HaGayim. That even though the slit appears below the knee, and it's not really uncovering anything that can't be uncovered, still that's there for pritzos reasons. So I'm not sure I agree, but I'm not sure that's true. Right? The slits are there so that they can walk. Right? So he said, no, you can walk anyway. I would suggest, however, that there was a tekufa. I haven't seen it. Maybe it's just. But they start wearing making these dresses where the skirt goes down and then there's like a see through material and then there's more of the dress. Have you seen this? Right. What?
Being a midriff or something.
Even if it's below the knees, towards the bottom. The dress that goes down and below the knees, towards the bottom, there's a break, there's like a see-through section,
right.
And then there's more material.
Why?
So the style. So what's that style? What is that style? So that style, I think, might be prohibited under this Chuvah from Moshe. That might be problematic. Well, what other reason could that be? So, but again, this is certainly where objectivity and subjectivity run into each other and have a problem. There is always, in YU every year, there's always an issue with the graduation gowns. There's always not focus because they claim that the graduation gowns have their story. So what's the reason for graduation gowns? And even more so, they probably do have a source in Avodah Zarah. I mean, if you had to guess, it probably has something to do with Avodah Zarah. If you can't find
associated with
right.
Churches and
right. So every year that's like always like an issue.
You can tell who the graduate is and not a guest.
Hmm?
So you can tell who the graduate is and not
right.
A guest.
But if you know that its source is from Avodah Zarah, then it becomes problematic regardless.
There's a whole symbolism to the game.
Hmm?
Different colors, different meanings.
Right. So certainly you can see from pictures at YU who's makel on this, but you know, at the Chag HaSmicha they didn't make us wear gowns. They wear suits for the Chag HaSmicha. On the back of the page, by the way, is from the Chazon Ish. So the Chazon Ish, this also I wouldn't have found this on my own. This is from Rabbi Reisman quoted. He puts in im amdam roy li yiras hashem yisparach lintus milvushim musharin yonim l'derech hayosir tzinu v'chaminik ha-chaverim, that it's better to wear clothing that is more tzinu, etc. The next couple of words, I'm not sure what it means, and Ray Reisman left it out when I heard him read it over. I went back to listen to it again, so I didn't understand what these words were. But I didn't know what prisha hachitzona inena simin yafa al hapnimis. Extra separation on the outside isn't a good sign for the inside. That's what the words mean. I'm not sure what it means.
Yes, but it's like externally, if you
If you have to do external things, that's a problem on the inside.
Right.
But the first half of the sentence, he's praising it. He's saying it's a good idea. Unless he's saying it's a good idea, even though you realize it's not so good that it's a good idea. It's still, I'm not sure what those words are. About Isser, but in terms of the Isser itself, it's only to desire to look like them. But not if you like the way it looks, right? It's a good style. And it's not that you want to be like them. As the Gra writes in his Biur, and as the Rama writes as well, and what does he seem to be doing? He seems to be putting the Rama and the Gra together. Right, he seems to just list and rattle them both off together, but it seems to even including the Gra, even according to the Gra, as long as you're not doing it dafka to be like them, so then it would be problems. If you do, so where does that leave the baseball hats? I don't know. What do you think? Where does it leave the baseball hats?
I don't know. This baseball cap has a symbol on it.
Right.
Now. Would I wear this baseball cap if it didn't have the symbol? No.
Right.
I might wear a different baseball cap. But
maybe the symbol is important.
The symbol is important to me.
Right.
So is that what they're talking about?
So maybe not. Right. So should we do it? Remember Reisman's words? He said putting on a Yankee cap. That was his words. So
why
maybe
would anybody do that?
In Brooklyn, there might be one or two people. So, even though it is, you know, National League country, there might be a few people that have moved over. But right, to wear a hat that has a demonstration of something that I want, that would then fit into these words of "Boivas Ayofi Hamuskum." Right, I like the style.
Right.
It's not something that I was thinking after. So,
right.
So, in that, it seems like according to Chazon Ish, he would be making on such a thing.
Right.
That's what it sounds like. Yeah. All right, so that is at least the first half of Luchoseh Losei Lechu. Sif Beis talks about Karav L'Machlus, is some kind of heter for somebody, for some reason, and I'll have to figure that out next week. That's
the guy
the last couple of years.
Did you hear something about he's talking about